NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Racing Talk Radio presented by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. It's time for the fastest hour of the week, gentlemen. I'm super pumped, fired up today, whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or on the TuneIn app. Thanks so much for joining us and being a part of your day. Happy to have you. It's a big, lot of stuff to talk about today, guys. We got a breakdown. Casey Kane's really surprising win last week in Indy. Got a lot of news, breaking news, with some changes. Brian Blaney changing teams, sort of. I guess you could say that. We got that. We're going to talk about all that more. We got power rankings. And as you can tell, we're shorthanded because Jamie Kyle's not here. But we trade. Sometimes you trade in. And you trade up. We made the power move this week. And we brought in the big gun. I'm Scott Webb. Jason Hildebrand's over here. And the boss man's in the house today, Mr. Sean Whitfield. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing wonderful, guys. Glad to be here.
Doing good.
It's glad to have you with us.
And you know, oftentimes when I fill in on one of the shows, I am stepping into some big shoes.
Yeah, but that's not the case.
But today, these shoes feel pretty small.
Yeah, these are a couple sizes small. Let me tell you. But we are happy to have Sean Whitfield from Valvoline Racing Radio. We'll let him promo his shows here a little bit later. But we're happy to have him and be a part of the day. And gentlemen, I guess we probably need to jump right in. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. But have you seen a wilder finish at Indianapolis than we had this week? I mean, there was a little bit of everything. You had a ton of cautions. You had the top, clearly the best two cars on the track that on Sunday wreck each other and knock each other out. We had darkness. We had people trying fuel mileage. Just literally a hodgepodge of things, ultimately leading to a guy who hadn't won in a couple of years, almost passing out in victory lane from dehydration because they were in the car so long.
You know, one of the things that I look at, and we talked kind of before the air about it, Scott, is you look and you see all these things that happen towards the end of the race with all the wrecks and the prolonged, you know, wondering about are we even going to get to start again because of darkness, all because of the best two cars got knocked out of that race. If those cars aren't out, I mean, it's going to be a two-man show, the whole thing. But, you know, I've never seen a wilder finish in Indianapolis.
Sean, I mean, you've been watching sport forever. I mean, that was just not – it's been a long time since we've seen leaders wreck each other out of a race like we saw. And then I don't know what happened in the last 20 laps. It was just pure madness.
Well, from what I saw Sunday, I saw more of the same of what I've seen so far in 2017, and that is a bizarre race, a crazy day. I mean, guys, just think about it. The entire 2017 has been a NASCAR season like we have possibly not ever seen before, at least seen in many years, because we've got guys winning races that normally shouldn't be winning races, and we've got so many drivers that haven't won that have been the dominant drivers of the recent past.
I don't think you could put it any better than that. You take a guy that was probably the dominant car, Kyle Busch, and Truex was probably right there in that mix. This is a guy that has led a ton of laps, a ton of laps, and he doesn't have a win yet. You can't explain it.
Yeah, and as I'm sitting there watching 6 hours of one race on Sunday, I'm thinking, you know, this is more of the same of what we've been getting in 2017. A lot of aggressive driving, a lot of competitive racing, and you don't ever know oftentimes who's going to win. And I kind of went into the Brickyard race as a fan thinking, you know, the Brickyard hasn't been one of those races that has been impressive at all in the last few years. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even mind if it was not taken, you know, if it was taken off the race schedule and another track put in its place. But guys, we saw a lot of excitement and we saw a lot of drama, and majority of it came at the end. But for sure, Scott, as you mentioned earlier, or maybe Jason, you did, about the two fastest cars on the track went out early. And when the race started, we probably, most of us thought that it was either going to be Martin Truex Jr. or Kyle Busch in victory lane.
I was surprised. I mean, obviously, those two cars were just head and shoulders above the rest, but Kyle Busch, and you talk about the string of bad luck that this guy's had. You know, he hasn't won since at this track a year ago, Jason. And then he looks like he's by far and away the best car, or at least going to be right there at the end. And then, you know, a restart, he gets out in front. Truex tries something a little, you know, just try. It's time to be aggressive. It's time to go. Loses it, spins out, wrecks the two best cars.
Yeah, and, you know, I was looking forward to seeing the battle between those guys for the rest of the race, because, I mean, this is my honest opinion, there's going to be a two-man battle out there on the track. I mean, they're going to get there and clean air going back and forth, and they're going to leave the rest of the guys in the dust. But when those guys, you know, went out of the race, it opened the door for everybody else and the chaos that ensued in the race.
Well, talk about a group that had a little bit of poor luck, and that's the Hendrick group. You have Junior getting not one but two incidents. The other one completely takes out his radiator. Elliott blows up for the first time in his career. Johnson was in the process of blowing up when he wrecked out at the end. That those group of cars, even though there was one shining light, we'll get to him in just a few minutes, but a rough day for the vast majority of Hendrick, Sean.
That's right, and we all were kind of keeping our fingers crossed, whether you're a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan or not, that this might be a possibility that Dale Jr. could come out on top, maybe even win the race. Maybe there was that possible likelihood, but certainly the day did not end well for him. Jimmy Johnson is a driver that has an outstanding history at the Brickyard, and Jimmy Johnson, too, was a driver that went out earlier in the race. So it was just a crazy, bizarre day. I mean, we're at the end of the race, and we're watching there, and we're thinking, no, wait a minute. We're about to see Trevor Bayne have a possibility of winning the Brickyard 400.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the thoughts I've said. This dude is going to go, they're going to go 18 green flag laps at the end, and he's going to have a fuel run and win this thing, and I'm going to be, what just happened?
And we're about to be out of cars, because, I mean, there wasn't that many cars still on the racetrack at the end. So it was a crazy and wild day. In my opinion, it's one of the best Brickyards races that we've seen in many years. But getting back to the statement I made earlier, I would not be at all bothered if NASCAR didn't take this race off the schedule. I don't think that's ever going to happen, because I know that it's got tremendous history in all of motorsports, and it is considered to be one of the big ones that every driver wants to win. But let's face it, guys, it does. It's not a track that puts on the best show. And if you just look at it from the public relations point of view, it's not a racetrack that's really sending out that good a message to the overall American public, because the stands were
yeah, that's the one thing that really bothers me. With a place that large, and then when you compare it to what happens Memorial Day weekend, and you see the amount of people that are jam-packed in that place for the Indy 500, then when you've got a smattering of people like they had on Sunday, and I realize it's hotter, it's different, and the racing has struggled, but it from a PR perspective, it really, that place has taken a hit over the couple of years. The prestige a little bit has started to wear off a little bit on that track.
Yeah, and you look at the past 2 years, like you said, I mean, the attendance, I mean, you could spot one particular person if you were looking for them out there in the stands, and you could pick them out. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I hate it, because I have people come up to me often that are maybe what I would call at best casual NASCAR fans, or maybe they're not NASCAR fans at all, but they saw the headlines or the highlights on SportsCenter or one of the other forms of media, and all they saw was a NASCAR race at Indianapolis, which everybody in this country knows about, and there was hardly anybody there. And you're right, you got 250,000 seats. Even if you have 35,000 to 50,000 people there, the place still looks empty.
It does. I do want to get to, I had a question about this, and I thought Jeff Burton made a great point on NBC. We had a bunch of restarts there at the end of the race. Then we had to go into overtime and all that. On the next to last, where it caused the big pile up there in overtime, get your thoughts on this. I thought, like Casey Kane thought, that Keselowski had jumped that final restart. Keselowski lined up on the inside. Kane took the outside. They all piled up behind Kane when Hamlin lifted his tires off the ground. How difficult is it as an official to make that call that late in the race? Did he jump the restart? Did he not jump the restart? Am I nitpicking and I'm being hypercritical here? I thought he clearly jumped the restart, and he's the one, that's what ended up causing the accident, because Kane backed off the gas because he thought he was going to beat him to the line.
I don't know. I think when you get into restarts, I think there's a gray area. You know, did he or did he not? I don't know. I mean,
let me ask you this, though. If that's an Xfinity race, are they throwing a flag on somebody and bringing somebody down? Or because that's the big boys out there, that's one of those, well, it's a gray area. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Because he clearly jumped the restart. It wasn't even close. He was, you know, with the restart line, to tell our audience a little bit about the restart, there's a section on the track, and it's clearly marked with pylons, usually up on the fence, and or NBC has that fancy highlight there where they'll say they can restart. The lead car, the number one car, is able to start anywhere in that area, but you can't go until he goes. And Keselowski on that next to last restart was definitely the more aggressive. He was jumping the start, and that's what ended up piling up about a dozen cars there in the front stretch at Indy.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
No, go ahead, Scott.
I think it was somewhat of a situation that NASCAR was ready to get that race over with because it was getting dark there. And it looked a lot brighter on television,
right,
because they had already made comment. They adjusted the lens of the cameras in order for it to show up better on television. But I think at that point, NASCAR was thinking, we have got to get this thing in before it gets so dark we can't even see.
And don't you think that's the very reason that that yellow didn't come out until Kane passed that overtime line? There's no, as soon as I saw the replay, as soon as that car goes by, boom, that light comes on. Woo, that was convenient.
Because they were just about in a position that they were going to call the race, regardless of what was going to happen there.
At the end. That's what happens when you run for. I mean, you have a record number of cautions, and they got a rain delay on top of all that. So it was, the rain delay hurt because it didn't rain for hours or anything, but the track is so big and so hard to get dry that it hampered. It ended up being, they rained for 10, 15 minutes, and then it took an hour and a half to get the cars out on the track. So overall, I personally thought it was, especially the last half of the race, I mean, you can't ask for anything more with a stock car on that racing surface. I thought it was good stuff.
It was definitely entertaining at the end. It definitely delivered a high level of competition, and hopefully this will carry some momentum for the attendance to be much better next year. And of course, NBC, the TV ratings were up.
The TV ratings were up. I was just going to mention that 18% jump from this race last year. So and I don't know if it was the time of day or if it was following the British Open and how all that sort of played into it.
Well, it always helps when you're running a race in prime time.
Half
the race was in prime time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a short break. We come back, we're going to hear from the winner. Hopefully he's got some fluids in him and he's a little more hydrated than he was at the end of this race. But we're going to hear from the winner, Casey Kane, coming up right after this.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, the big boss man's here, Sean Whitfield. We found loose lug nuts on Jamie Kyle's car last week, so we've put him on 1 week suspension. So hopefully Jamie will be back with us next week after he gets through his suspension. Actually, if you've seen his power rankings the last couple weeks, that's reason enough for a minimum.
That's suspension.
That's suspension worthy over the last course
and
of the
a
last
fine.
Couple. Yeah,
a fine.
I'm sure Jamie's having a good time in his bikini swim trunks at the beach right now.
Oh God! Now I got that. Yeah, picture.
I just planted a picture in your mind.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate that. I'm gonna go. Hold on a second. I'm gonna go get a screwdriver and take out my eyes. Good. I don't want to see anything ever again.
And if Jamie, if you're listening, I've got a gift here in the studio for you that is waiting on you, and it's something that you're just gonna love.
He is gonna love. He'll be if he's on Twitter here in a little while. We're gonna get that picture out and tweet that out. That's I mean, in terms of gifts, that's about as good as
it gets.
That's
up there.
That's like having a picture of your wife on your desk.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Except it's your next favorite person.
It's your next favorite person, Kyle Busch. Right.
You know, as we often talk about the attitude and the character that Kyle Busch has, and oftentimes many of us are not a big fan of Kyle Busch. We respect that he's such an incredible driver, but his attitude and so forth kind of takes a lot of it away. But we know that Jamie is a huge Kyle Busch fan. And so anytime I hear Kyle Busch speak, it kind of reminds me of Jamie a little bit. But as I was sitting there Sunday and I thought, Kyle Busch is going to really go off in this post-race interview after being taken out by Martin Truex Jr. And I thought, to some extent, we could sort of care less what Kyle Busch has to say, but there's a secret part of all of us that we're always interested in hearing what he's got to say.
Absolutely.
After he just got beat. Because it's going to be something totally out in left field that only Kyle Busch can say.
And then
he has a unique character.
He does have a unique. And then he went, I know it's technically not his teammate, but it is his teammate. Basically, he's the one that wrecked him out. And he was diplomatic. It's racing, one of those racing deals. Yeah. I'm like, what? That should right then and there, I should have known. The next hour and a half, 2 hours, or 2.5 hours, however long it took after they wrecked.
It's totally out of
that
norm.
Race, that craziness was going to ensue, and it did.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to transition to the craziness because, gentlemen, we had a guy win a race that, A, really needed to win a race, not only for himself, but to give them an opportunity to qualify for the playoffs. Casey Kane punches his ticket to the playoffs with a win for the first time, Jason, since 2014. What a big win for the five car.
That was a big win, and a big win for Hendrick. You know, I was seeing a statistic after the race. It's talking about it's the first Hendrick driver since Jimmy Johnson to win a race since Dale Jr. won at Pocono in 2015. So nobody else in that organization has been
not named Jimmy Johnson
besides Jimmy Johnson in 2 years.
Well, there's one thing about it. We know he's going to make it into the playoffs. We know that his contract with Hendricks goes through the end of 2018. However, we've seen history in the sport play out where sometimes you are bought out of your contract and you do not get to serve your final year of your contract. So here's the big question. I'd like to see what you guys think. We already know that Farmers Insurance is not going to be back next year. We know Sport Clips is not going to be back. So sponsorship is in much need of that five car. Do you think this win and making it into the playoff is going to save his career at Hendricks in 2018?
I'll let Jason go first.
To be honest, I haven't seen much out of Kane in the past few years. And, to go out and win one race and get into the playoffs, really difficult to say. It's going to save his career there.
I mean, Buescher won a race last year and got in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just got to be in the right place in the right time. And listen, we really haven't talked about the details of how Kane got to the right place at the right time. But they are actually trying to stretch a fuel run as long as they can. They pit late in a sequence, and as they're rolling down pit lane, you have an accident. So all the leaders have to come in, and it puts him out front, and that's where he ended up staying. So it was a little fortunate for him to get there. Mm-hmm. I am concerned about his job long term. I think you got to start looking at that organization and who's driving, not only for Hendrick, but also for Junior Motorsports and Xfinity. You talk about Byron, some of the other guys, some of the other kids that have an opportunity to move into that seat. This was an important win, but now they're going to have to back it up with some performance moving forward, or it wouldn't shock me to see Casey Kane move on.
Well, the one thing that I think could be his saving grace is, you look at the garages you got, you got the 48 and the 88 together. which is Jimmy Johnson, and going to be
Bowman. Alex Bowman. That was announced last week.
You know, it'd be good to have a veteran over there with Kane and Elliott being in the same garage. I don't know. That might be the only saving grace there.
Well, two comments. I thought I was watching Austin Dillon win the Coke 600 Sunday because it was a driver that none of us expected to win. He was at the right place at the right time. Plus, all the cars that you would have expected to win was already out of the race. And I think that his career has pretty much already been decided, because we know without sponsorship and being an attractive marketing piece to companies that you're not going to be around long. And right now, I don't think there's any sponsorship that's lined up or secured for the 5 car and 18. I think before he won this race, his destiny with Hendricks has already been decided, and he's not going to be back next year.
It's going to take some sort of monumental run in the playoffs for them to go deep in the playoffs and maybe even get to Homestead and give themselves a chance. Then it's just like anything else. That's just like that coach that's on a hot seat in college sports or in professional sports, and all of a sudden they make a deep run into the playoffs. That may be the only way that he can save his job, but they've got the win that they manufactured this week, you can't live on that formula moving forward. That was just kind of something that fell in your lap. Granted, he made the most of it. He had a great restart at the absolute perfect time to have a great restart. But is that a formula they can follow to win races and put themselves in position? And I think we would all agree, probably not.
It had been so long since any of us had seen him in victory lane. It seemed weird to see post-race interviews of him in victory lane.
Well, speaking of Casey Kane in victory lane, let's hear what he had to say after he had a chance to get some fluids in after nearly passing out in victory lane.
Not going to give up. First off, we had the strategy worked out perfectly when we pitted and we got to the lead. We'd been running like 11th to 14th, somewhere in there, I feel like, and had a pretty good car at the time once we got it to turn. Early on, I was on the tight side, but once we got it to turn, it was actually pretty quick, and we just needed to get the track position, and everything worked out perfectly on that strategy. We got to the front, and then it was restart after restart. We got the first one and was pulling away, then there's a wreck. Then the second one, we were three wide into three. There's a wreck. And then the next one, Kozlowski kind of figured out how to get the lead there. And then the final one, we were able to get the lead back. So I had a great car out front. I had a pretty good car all day long. It was just a matter of kind of getting that last little bit of turn in the car and then controlling the track bar to keep rear gripping it as the tires worn off. But I was really happy. Unbelievable to win in Indianapolis. Unbelievable to win a cup race. It's been a while, and it feels really good for myself and my confidence.
Well, and you notice he talked about Kozlowski in the restart before. I'm telling you, he was not happy with the two car and that next to last restart. He definitely jumped. I'm going to go to my grave saying that Kozlowski jumped it, but that's racing. Don't want to dwell too much on that. Gentlemen, some real quick before we turn our attention to Pocono in the next segment, some big news, a big announcement today. Blaney, Penske is finally going to a three-car team. Blaney's going to be moving into that. Menard is going to be moving to the Wood Brothers. That's probably a sponsorship thing. You would think that had a lot to do with that move because it's not about performance. And then obviously last week, the big announcement of who was finally going to drive the 88. Bowman going to the 88. Junior going to NBC and going to be there in some sort of role. I would assume it's going to be in the booth. And maybe, I don't know if Burton is going to be, if he's replacing Burton or how that's going to do. I haven't been able to find details out on all that, but some big moves. We're starting to see the silly season start to ramp up already, and it's still July.
Yeah, there's a lot of dominoes that have fell in the last 5 or 6 days, and with Paul Menard goes a check, and that is the sponsorship of Menards. So that's kind of how I'm sure that came together. I think Alex Bowman was the right choice and the right fit for Hendrick Motorsports. He performed better than Jeff Gordon did in that car for many of the races last year. Ended up with a top five in Phoenix there at the end of the season.
Won the pole at Phoenix.
Yes, that's a good point. So I think that was a wise choice. The Penske deal, I think probably all of us felt like that was pretty secure. However, it has been made official. And to see Junior go to NBC, it did not surprise me. It surprised me that the news came out this early. One thing that did surprise me about the agreement is this contract is not only with NBC Sports, but it's with NBC Universal, which opens the door for film, for him to be in other sports that NBC is covering, such as the NFL and the Olympics. So I never imagined Dale Earnhardt Jr. being a movie star.
He's become a media mogul, and I think he's got. I think him and his wife are doing a home repair show or something
down
along
in
that line.
Key West.
So he's going to become a media mogul.
So
maybe
he's more than just a analyst that's going to be covering NASCAR races.
He's still going to get that mayo.
Yeah, and with
if
the
you've seen that commercial, going to get that mayo.
And with the addition of Blaney to Penske, I think that, to my opinion, I don't know about you guys, but I think that solidifies them as the strongest organization in NASCAR at this point in time.
I think that's a great move for Penske Racing and for the future of Blaney. I kind of feel sorry though for the Wood brothers, because it was putting the Wood brothers in front of the current generation of NASCAR fans when many of those folks had no idea who the Wood brothers were or had any idea that they were legends in the NASCAR world. So that's the unfortunate part.
Maybe it's a little bit nostalgic on my part, but it's fun to see the 21, especially when he's in that motorcraft, that red and white car. Sometimes they'll do some different paint screens, but he's in that traditional Wood Brothers look. It's fun. I think to me it's something that brings a bit of history from the past and makes it relevant. It's going to be disappointing. Well, and I'm not. This is not saying Menard can't run well, but I can give you a little.
Bet that's what you're thinking.
That's probably what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'll do a little editorial here. These opinions are not expressly the Whitfield Media and all that sort of stuff. But it's nice to see. It's been nice to see that 21 car have some resurgence the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you look at an organization like the Wood Brothers and you think about. They have been a part of what has made NASCAR what it is today. They've been around for decades, and I believe, I'm speaking correctly when I say this, that they are now the oldest team in the Monster Energy Cup Series. I think they've been around with a team since either the late 50s or early 60s.
And one of the, it's just, they're iconic. I mean, obviously, Hall of Fame and all that sort of stuff, but it's something about seeing that car and seeing it out there, especially the last few years, and being able to actually have some success in that machine and we all know that this deal had kind of been in the works, and it was a shock to nobody, but hopefully we can still see some positive gains and see that and them still be a part of the show, because it's a better deal. NASCAR is a better sport when you get people that quality, not only from a race car quality, but they're real, the Wood Brothers, really quality people, and having them be a part of the sport.
Absolutely. And two, to see the Wood Brothers have sponsorship to be able to run all the races.
All the races. Because it wasn't that long ago. It was a very selective schedule. It is great to see them be a part. We're going to come back. We're going to turn our attention I had some notes in here. We were going to talk a little bit about Eldora, but we'll move on for that. By the way, last Wednesday was great. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the trucks on the dirt, but it's slowly becoming, not slowly, it's really becoming one of my must-see events in the racing season. When those guys get out there and sling those trucks around in dirt up in Indiana at Tony Stewart's track, it's a lot of fun. I hope you had a chance to talk to that. When we get back, though, we are going to turn our attention to Pocono, if you want to,
we were just there.
We were just there. It was just around the corner. And welcome back to the Keystone State, I guess is what it is. But we'll talk about Pocono and more right after this.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Thanks for joining us today, or if you're listening on the TuneIn app, pleasure to have you. Mr. Whitfield, you listen on the TuneIn app quite a bit, don't you?
That I do. Of course, I live in Chattanooga, and that is the way that I am able to tune in to 101.3 The Buzz, and just go to the TuneIn app and do a search for Chattanooga, scroll down, click on the AM 1570 WCLE, Once you click on that, it'll get you locked in right here to 101.3 The Buzz. Yep.
Got you got a few shows here on the Buzz, don't you?
Yes, we do. Each Tuesday morning, you can catch Marketing Mix Radio on 101.3 The Buzz with Clint Powell and Rich Mazingo. Rich is the president of the Chattanooga Lookouts, and those guys do a great job. And then also Andrea Perry is going to be joining you each and every Wednesday morning on In the Know Radio on 101.3 The Buzz, and she does an outstanding job talking about health, wellness, and lifestyle. Also, I want to mention this.
I should probably be listening to that show, shouldn't I?
Yeah, it's a great show, especially for all the ladies out there. They really enjoy listening to Andrea. And I want to remind folks, if you know, we're experiencing some of the hottest temperatures that we've experienced so far this summer, especially this past weekend. And if you start to have any problems with your heating and cooling system, don't forget to call our friends over at Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. They are a great organization, been serving Bradley County for years. And also, too, guys, there's nothing worse than a hot house and a very hot, upset wife. So call Hiwassee
or
Chase.
Or a hot radio studio.
Well, okay. Maybe we need to call Hiwassee Chase
right now.
Yes,
we might need to.
But, you know, make sure you do that preventive maintenance on your system. Have it checked out periodically by the folks at Hiwassee Chase. So you don't come to that day where you get that call from your wife and she is as hot as your house is.
Yeah.
On a weekend.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that happening. No. Absolutely. No. There's things in life I strive to avoid, and that one's pretty high on my list.
Yeah, and you can find them online at HiwasseeChaseAirSystems.com. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't know which is worse, a 90-degree home or a wife that's registering over 100.
Well, I know one thing. We don't want to find out in the web house. That's sure. Or Valvoline, you want to plug? Go ahead and plug Valvoline Racing Radio.
Yeah, of course. I always encourage you to tune in to Racing Talk Radio each Wednesday right here on 101.3 The Buzz with Jamie, Scott, and Jason. But also join us on Rock 105, Valvoline Racing Radio. We're on each and every Monday and Thursday at 6 p.m. You can listen to us on Rock 105 or iHeartRadio anywhere around the world. You can also catch us on Revan TV nationwide, coast to coast, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and 11 p.m., and then Saturdays at 8 a.m. and 12 noon. You can also find us at RevanTV.com.
Yep. Last time I was down there, I was on Valvoline Racing Radio. We were actually at Pocono, and here we are. Again.
At Pocono.
Listen, the schedule is one of my, if NASCAR, whoever's in charge of NASCAR, if they would just let me do the schedule, I think I could help. I think I could help your ratings, your attendance, all sorts of things. Now, we may have to get rid of a few tracks and bring a few tracks in. There's some places. I don't mind going to Pocono once. There ain't no reason we should be going to Pocono. There's definitely no reason we should be going to Pocono in a five-week period. But here we are, gentlemen. We're back at the Tricky Triangle. Thoughts?
So if you were Brian France for a day, Pocono would be to one
race. If I could be, when you're younger, you have those, you bring somebody to work or you have that play day. If I could be the NASCAR president for one day, yeah, I could do some wonders with the schedule. There's no doubt about it.
I'm with you. What about you, Jason?
I know which one he'd switch it out with. He would bring in Road America.
Road America is my number one favorite. Yeah, I would get rid of. If we never went back to Pocono, that would be fine. You want to see long straightaways and turns? Let's go to Road America. That course is 4 miles long. It's fun going up, climbing up a hill. You got the chicanes. It's fun. Long straightaways. But after the restart, what is there to the race? Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of single fine racing. And hopefully you can stretch your fuel mileage out and win a few mileage races.
You know, I'm not a big fan of Pocono. You see a flat kind of track out there. You know, it does have the distinct turns that's different than what we see anywhere else on the circuit. But, yeah, I would replace one of those Pocono races with something else.
Well, and the races are so close together. And Scott, you bring up a good suggestion. Moving it to a road course, and I would also adjust the schedule and put that road course race into the playoffs. Now, next year we're going to see Charlotte be there in the playoffs, but Road America is going to be a much more exciting race than what I'm envisioning Charlotte going to be next season. Now, for selfish reasons, I would add Atlanta Motor Speedway a second date
right.
again.
I understand that.
And make Pocono a one race per year.
Well, listen, there's a couple. Listen, like I've always said, some of these races that we go to, like, there's nothing wrong with the spring and fall race at Bristol. It's an iconic track. We don't have that many short tracks. But some of these tracks, you know, I grew up 30 minutes outside of the Irish Hills, outside of MIS. But there's no reason to go to that track twice. We've got similar type California's very much. I mean, they were designed pretty much alike. They're very similar in nature. Why are we going to some of these tracks? I need variety. I want my champion, okay, my champion to be the best at a variety of tracks and have a variety of skill sets that's going to make him the best driver in the world in the most competitive series in the world. So I want to see him do things that are required at a mile and a half, at a short track, at a road course, and that's how I want my champion crowned.
I would agree. That's a great suggestion. And when you think about what are the possibilities of NASCAR moving this race, I would say they're very slim. I think it's going to have to be similar to the recent past where Speedway Motorsports bought Kentucky Speedway, took an Atlanta date, moved it to Kentucky. I think Speedway Motorsports or International Speedway Corporation is going to have to purchase Pocono because they're one of two tracks that are still independently owned. I think one of the two big companies or groups are going to have to buy Pocono, and then they can take that date and move it to wherever they choose.
Yeah, there's that's how the schedule, and that's really how the schedule changes anymore. It's really not based upon giving us the best series or doing the best things. It's about working it in the schedules and making these track owners happy. But we digress. I've got a couple clips of audio here. They did get a chance earlier to talk to Junior, who will be making his final start. Now, this is Junior, I think, was it 2013 that won both races at Pocono? It was 13 or 14, I can't remember, won both races at Pocono. And you'd have to think this is one of the few tracks where he's had some success at that he could win. But they did ask him, how are Indy and Pocono comparable?
There are some similarities with the racetracks. I talked to Greg today just even about our car, If you can boil anything from Pocono, it's turn three. How the car gets through the center of turn three and the exit of that corner is very similar to the center and exits of these corners. Some of the characteristics that the car has and what makes the car work well in turn three at Pocono probably would help here. And so you kind of point Greg or your crew chief in that direction and say, you know, I need whatever we could do or whatever we did or hit on in Pocono that might have helped us in turn three. There's some tools I would probably go to first to try to.
Yeah, there is a. Well, I turn my audio back on. One of the intriguing things about the Pocono race is the distinctly different turns, and it does cause some handling issues. You know, you could be working very good at one part of the track and struggle at another part.
You're right, and the only racetrack that is even close to comparison to Pocono is where we were at this past weekend, and that's at the Brickyard, where you've got a portion of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that has some similarities to Pocono. But even though Pocono is not a racetrack that's a favorite of mine either, there is something kind of cool about watching them all come down the front stretch, and they get as many as five and six wide to have a drag race down the front stretch to see who's going to get out front.
It's the best restart in the series. It's the other 2 miles after that's not my favorite. Let me put it that way. You'll see some high speeds. You'll see 200 plus miles an hour heading into turn one where you get a fairly decent bank turn. But then it's, you know, my problem with the race is it generally, and even not as much now with stages involved, but they used to race it almost like a road course. They would race it backwards. So you would see guys run 6, 7, 8, 9 laps, and then they're hitting pit road because that's how it works into their fuel window, because it almost always turns into some sort of fuel mileage race. I think Kyle Busch, when he came back from his injury a couple years ago in this particular race, he ran out of gas with a chance to – you know, trying to make the playoffs. And they ultimately made the playoffs and won a championship. But we see a lot of fuel mileage runs here at Pocono.
Yeah, and you look and a lot of those times that you see that, you see breakaways. You know, and you hear the words clean air out there a lot in this Pocono race. And, you know, you've seen them win on fuel mileage in the past, and I expect to see some strategy out there again like this week, the same way.
Well, Pocono, that's the Overton's 400. I believe that's going to be actually on NBCSN, and it's an MRN race, green flag at 3:20. I think coverage starts at 2 o'clock, and you can listen to the MRN coverage right here on Talk 101.3, The Buzz. Before we hit the break, Jason, let's go ahead and get the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings. That's brought to you by Stephanie Pater at Cry Like Realty. Listen, some people drive by a house and think they would love to have that house, but can't sell theirs. If you call Stephanie Pater at 473-9545 or sell at 650-49 or 9429, she'll get it sold for folks, and she'll get you ready to purchase your next dream home. Jason.
Here's your top 10 drivers in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Leading at this point after the Brickyard, Martin Truex Jr., 48 points back, Kyle Larson. Third is the number 4 car of Kevin Harvick, followed by Kyle Busch. Denny Hamlin, driver of the 11 car, fifth in the points. Brad Keselowski, sixth. Jamie McMurray, seventh in the points. Chase Elliott, rough week last week, but looking to rebound this week, sitting at 8th in the points. Matt Kenseth, sitting at 9th. And rounding out the top 10, Mr. Jimmy Johnson, driver of the 48 Lowe's Chevrolet.
And that is your Monster Energy Points Standings, brought to you by Stephanie Planer at Cry Like Realty. When we come back from the break, we are going to give you an intelligent, well-thought power rankings. I know you're not, for those of you regular listeners, I know you're not often used to that, but we're going to have some thought and some intellect involved in our power rankings, and we're going to give our picks to win at Pocono. All that and more coming up next.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio here on Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, Sean Whitfield. Gentlemen, I'm ready for an intelligent, thoughtful, and listen, it's never happened on the show before, so we're going to have an intelligent, thoughtful conversation on power rankings. So
I feel like I'm a little bit of a disadvantage because I keep asking Jamie for the official Race and Talk Radio Power Rankings Handbook,
yeah,
and he has yet to send it to me, so I'm a little bit unclear and uneducated on
right. How listen, to do this. You can't be any more unclear or uneducated as we usually are on this particular shot of the program. So you'll fit right in. Don't worry about your power.
All
rankings.
Right, I feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah, now. Feel confident. Just throw numbers out there because I think that's what Kyle does. He starts with 18 and everything else is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Jason, give us your power rankings.
All right, I got Martin Truex Jr. first in my power rankings. A no-brainer to me. Guy's running better than anybody, dominating the stages. Kyle Larson second. I have Kevin Harvick third. I've moved Denny Hamlin to fourth. Strictly based on a win, and I moved Kyle Busch to fifth.
It seems like the 11 teams, they're starting to get their act together. Yeah. They're starting to be around a little bit more at the end with a little more speed. Sean.
Jason, I got to ask you this question.
Yes.
As a guy that is totally clueless and uneducated on the Race and Talk Radio power rankings, you were almost reading off the top five in the standings. How did you determine your power rankings? I need some help advice here.
It's not rocket science.
Well, to be honest with you, last week, and I've kept them the same for the past couple of weeks movement at all. What I looked at, the one that I kicked out, and I mean, all I do is up to this point of the year, how are they performing? Jimmy Johnson's had a rough, past few weeks. I just booted him out. and brought Denny Hamlin in.
So it's more of a feel, but you know, when you don't have what's driving me nuts about Kyle is
78 didn't show up for two weeks ago.
Yeah, for a month he had him in there and he's been one of the best cars. So there's really not a rhyme or reason to it, but you've got to be able to at least back up what you're saying, and sometimes it's indefensible.
Well, now that you've made that clear as far as backing up what you can say, I'm just going to play it safe, and I'm going to run down the top five.
Oh, there we go.
I'm going to go Truex, Larson in the 42, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch. Well, I'm gonna skip Kyle Busch in honor of our buddy Jamie. I'm going to put in Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin.
Oh, shaking things
so
up.
I'm going to throw seven time in there. You can always, you know, feel some confidence when you throw him in. So I'm going to go with
that.
He does have three wins on the year.
He does have three wins. You know, but one of my issues with him is, I mean, they're either winning, and usually they're winning when they have to start in the very back. So if they're starting in the back, you got to get nervous. But, you know, they're winning or not finishing well.
Yeah, he's got three victories on the year, and he's sitting tenth, there 200 and, you know,
he's 10th in points.
20 points back.
He's 10th in points. He's got three wins.
But here's the difference. The five car won last weekend, and so Chad Knaus is ticked off because if the five car is winning races now, that means he's got to win two. For everyone they win, he has to win two.
So Chad, 48 car may be a good pick.
That's
this
right.
Week.
Chad's going to be up in victory lane.
Well, my power rankings, a little shake up in the middle. The 78 car, I don't know how you can not have him at the top. It seems like every time they roll off the truck, they're fast off the truck, they're fast in qualifying, and they go to the front. Doesn't matter what track they're on, what style of track they're on, they're fast. 42, I've got him in second. I've moved Kyle Busch up. I know he hasn't won a race yet, but he is leading a ton of laps, and it's just a matter of time. And they could get on a roll like they got a few years ago, where they don't win just one or two races, they win a whole bunch. They go 4 for 6 or 4 for 7. So watch out for Busch there. I got Johnson fourth, and Harvick. I still think that the top three have kind of separated themselves. Then you got another little cluster. Where are the Penske cars, guys? You know, this is 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. You may have multiple Penske cars in this top five, but nobody mentioned one of the, and really Harvick was the only Ford.
That's a good point. And we've seen this all season long. Just when we think we've figured out the trends, we get a curveball. And when you look at the season so far, we've got 12 different race winners. We've got 16 positions in the playoffs. We got 6 races to go. We've had so many first-time winners this year. We've had we've got a number of drivers, Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, and others that have always been a shoe-in to get in the playoffs. They're sweating it right now. So what a crazy, what a wild, what an unusual season we've seen so far. And anybody out there that says that racing is not good in NASCAR in 2017 has not been watching the same races I've been watching.
Haven't been paying attention. I think stages have changed dramatically. I think even more have changed the sport even more than we thought we would. We're seeing more aggressive driving, which is causing more accidents. These points are going to matter, and we're going to see all that kind of work itself out in the next couple of weeks. Jason, winner at Pocono.
I got a guy who's got 4 victories there at Pocono, more than anybody currently running on circuit. I got Denny Hamlin.
All right, I want to go with a driver that I want to see do well, especially since he's out of a ride right now for 2018, and he could sure use this win. And I'm going to go with that 20 car, Matt Kenseth.
A whole organization, it seems like this could be one of those situations where we see a team, I don't want to say flip the switch, but this team wasn't very good 6-8 weeks ago, and now Busch is up front every week. Kenseth, Hamlin. Those cars, now Suarez is a rookie, they're going to go through their lumps, but it looks like the rest of that organization is starting to get their stuff together, so much so that I'm going I'm going to take a picture with him here in just a minute, Rowdy Busch, the M&M's car, to victory lane this week at Pocono. Guys,
that's probably a wiser choice.
It's great. I think it's a great choice.
He's hungry and he's eager right now. Yeah. And Kyle Busch performs let's see well if he when
gets,
the pressure's
yeah, on. Let's see if he wrecks this week, if he's just as nice as he was last week. I'm sure if it's not one of his guys wrecking him, he may not be as friendly. Guys, it's amazing. It shows, I mean, this is, it is, when we say it's the fastest hour in racing. We mean it's the fastest hour in racing. It flew by today.
Yeah, the fastest hour in radio as well. Guys, enjoyed it. Thanks for having
me. Appreciate it.
And, you know, Jamie Kyle will be back next week. I tried to do the best I could, but the big guy will be back. So
yeah, we'll apologize in advance.
We look forward to hearing him, I think.
Yeah, maybe. It has been fun. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for making us a part of your day. We'll see you next time.
The NASCAR season is getting close. This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.